You're listening to City Church Long Beach Sermons. Visit us at citychurchlongbeach.org.
People at church.
We'll see what happens.
Hello, people. Say hi to people at church.
Joe, maybe you can hear better than we can. Are they actually marching yet, or are we still in get ready stages? Oh, those are some good people.
It looks like they're still lined up waiting.
Yeah. I've heard sometimes these things can take a little extra time to get going. Yay, right? Thank you all for coming here this morning. We can keep this going in the background as long as Bill feels like it. But Bill, when you want to just go focus on the fun of marching, you can do that too. We're grateful for you guys. I feel a little weird with him behind me. What's going on? I don't know. We are so incredibly glad to be in all these different spaces this morning. We have our friends on Zoom who are often here. You guys are so welcome. Our friends marching in the parade, trying to say, yes, you know, we believe that God loves everyone. Yes, we are so excited to be able to say God's welcome is open to everyone and just be able to represent that in the Long Beach Pride Parade this morning. And I'm so glad for everyone who's sitting here in this room. Today is, I mean, not that we're ever particularly fancy here at City Church, right? But today is going to feel extra not that way. And I personally, I kind of love it. As much as I appreciate the comfort of the familiar and the routine, I think it's really good sometimes to remember that we can gather in all sorts of ways and all sorts of places, and we are still the church. Right? That it doesn't take a big group of people. It doesn't take a fancy service. It doesn't take a fancy sermon, which you are not going to get this morning, for it still be good and to be a spot where we just get to love each other and feel God's love for us. So thank you for being here this morning. I should have said this at the beginning, but for those of you, if you don't know me, and I'm not wearing my glasses, so it's possible there's one or two of you. There's a little blur for me towards the back. I'm Brenna Rubio. I'm one of the co-pastors here at City Church, and my pronouns are she, her. And we at City Church are a radically welcoming community on the journey towards Jesus, joining him in the renewal of all things. So again, thanks for being here. We do still have our nursery open, and the kids are going to go play on the playground in a few minutes. And so I think our friend Megan Williams is going to come up and pray for the kids.
Thanks, Brenna. Good morning, friends. Let's go ahead and pray for our kiddos. God, thank you so much for the kids in our community, not only at City Church, on Zoom, at the parade this morning, but also here in the Lafayette community, and also here in Long Beach. And we just ask, God, that you would have a special hand on kids as they grow and they develop and they become who they are meant to be. Would you just have favor on them? And would you help us adults learn from them to become more fully human and playful in the ways that you've created kids to be? And just bless our morning, God, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so any of the kids who want to head out with Megan and the rest of that team there, you're welcome to do that. Go have fun. And we're going to have some fun, too. I want to let everybody know right off that there is going to be some reflection time this morning. But it is very much choose your own adventure. For all of you who are here in person, for those of you who are here on Zoom, because some of us are more introverted and some of us are more extroverted. And so for the introverts on Zoom, if you want to grab some pencil and paper, something like that, you know, so that you at some of the times where we put up some questions can take a few minutes to jot some things down. You can do that here in person. We had, as you're coming in, but I brought a few in here too. Down here in the front, we have some clipboards and paper. So again, this is for the introverts. Nobody is gonna force you to turn and share with your neighbor. But if you're someone who's like, I would love to turn and share with my neighbor, you can do that. You can do that. We'll give a few minutes here and there. And I even wanna say, like, cause I know a couple of you came in with people. If one of you is introverted and one of you is extroverted, you're the extrovert, you're allowed to move and go find somebody else who wants to talk and leave your introvert to do their own thing. Totally cool, okay? Zoom folks, the extroverts, you can chat. I'm gonna be on chat with you. You're gonna be my group. So that's what we're up to this morning. And part of the reason we want some processing time this morning is we have been in what I at least have enjoyed so much, what we've called our therapist series, where we have had these wonderful people we've been learning from, the therapists in our community, who've been coming and reflecting with us on what it means to follow Jesus through their particular lens, really of emotional and relational wholeness, right? Of thinking, how is it that we change and we grow and we become whole? And it's been so enormously helpful, I've thought, and also it's been a lot. And so sometimes it's good to just be able to sit and say, let's have a moment to process. Let's just take a little bit of time and say, with all of the things that we've heard and we've thought and we've felt, where might God be moving us? What do we do with all of these things that have been brought up in us? We do have one more week left. Our friend Megan Williams, who just prayed and left with the kids, she and I are going to close out the therapist series for real next Sunday. But still, to take this time and say, what is God doing in us through all of these things that we've talked about? And as Megan was praying over the kids, this idea of our kids growing and how do we help them become who they're supposed to be, everything in me went, yes, that's what I've been thinking about so much this week. Because that was the image I got last week when we were talking, and it was Bill talking with Byron, and I just had this picture, right, of this is how God talks to us. This is how Jesus talks to us. He wants to help us grow up. And in the most loving and big brotherish kind of way, we want to see our kids become who they're supposed to be. And we want to become who we're supposed to be. And God wants that for us in such a sweet and delightful way. And so this morning, what we're going to be walking through is a scripture that I like to pray over my kids as I tuck them into bed at night. It's not every night, because actually my husband does a fair amount of the bedtime duty these days, but when it's my turn, this is the scripture that I like to pray over them. And it's one of those things that I think they probably get a little bit, right? That they can tell I mean it. They can tell there's emotion for me. But there's so much going on in my head and my heart when I say these words, and I want to share them with you and think about how this might be how God feels about us as well, and give us some time to walk through. So our friend Denya is going to come up and read the scripture for us this morning. If you would welcome Denya. And if you're able and willing, you'd like to stand in honor of the reading of God's word, you're welcome to do that.
So I should probably face that.
Yeah.
Okay, good thing I wrote it down.
Thanks, Denya.
Yeah. Okay, so Philippians 1, 3 through 6 and 9 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
If People of God, this is the word of God.
Thank you,
Dania. Okay, so some of you are thinking that is a long thing to read over 8-year-olds. And it has a little bit of formal language, and you are right. And so I do actually paraphrase it.
Bear with us here. We have lost our audio, and Joe is logging out and logging back in. So we will just continue to watch when the audio comes back on. And I'm going to post what Brennett was saying. This is the actual paraphrasing. I'm going to paste it in the chat of what she says to her kids. We can't hear her right now, but she said, "I thank God every time I remember you and all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And this is my prayer, that your love may grow ever more wise, full, and deep." Okay, I'm going to ask to unmute.
Who is reading the scripture for you on Zoom? You should keep going.
I did that for you, Brenna.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you so
welcome.
Much. Guys, we lost power at Lafayette. Here, I'm going to show you. Let's see if I can. I don't do this very often. See if I can figure out how to switch my orientation to show you us sitting in the dark. Nope.
You look good, right? You look really good right now.
There we go.
Yeah.
Everyone. All right. Okay, so somehow I'm really glad I'm not talking a whole lot today because this is going to be awkward. Hi, everyone. Okay, so take a second. We're going to go back to that beautiful.
Thank you. Wait, but I'm not sure how long the range will go with the microphone.
Thank you. Okay, this is fine. We do this at the beach. It'll be cool. Okay, everybody take a breath. Because I'm going to read that scripture again, but I'm going to say it to you the way I say it over my kids now. Okay, so I want you to picture a mom in a messy, crowded kind of kid's bedroom, right? 8-year-olds. 8-year-olds who are a little on the quirky side. Darling, wonderful, a little quirky. Okay, you are that 8-year-old now. Shut your eyes if you're comfortable. I thank God. Every time I remember you, in all my prayers for you, I pray with joy. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And this is my prayer, that your love may grow ever more wise and full and deep. So the first part of this scripture and why I love praying it over my kids, saying, I pray with joy. This morning, my eldest joined in the Pride Parade in the 10K, their first 10K, right before they do their first half next weekend. And so they sent a picture right before they were going to start their run, and they had their non-binary flags painted on their cheeks, and they were smiling, and the ocean was in the background, and everything in me as a mother just looked at them and just went, yeah, right? This is my kid. And they are becoming who they are meant to be. And I just look at them and I am just flooded with joy. The same way I'm flooded with joy when I see one of my 8-year-olds who sometimes in some situations might struggle with patience and self-control, but I see them gently guiding a 4-year-old around the community center they're playing in. Something might be happening. The other 8-year-olds, you know, who's been scared about doing something on, you know, a climbing wall, they embrace the challenge. Okay, I'm just gonna feed back. All right. I put my volume down. It's joyful. And so the first question that we want to invite you to talk about is, who looks at you that way? When in your life have you had someone, and maybe it's how they looked at you, what they said to you, or just the physical presence that you had together, that you got to feel the sense of, I am delighted in. And I want you to really think about that person, because that's where we start. That's where growth starts, right? In our attachment and knowing that we are beloved. And that's how God looks at us too. Okay, so some of you are going to be chatting on Zoom. Some of you are going to have pencil and paper. Some of you want to find a friend to talk with right now. It's just for a couple minutes. Who has looked at you with delight that way? Zoom, I'm going to be in the chat if any of you wants to answer there.
I'm hearing from all my neighbors.
It's the whole neighborhood. Okay.
Obviously a few glitches this morning, but we'll get through it. So the question that Brenna asked, you can chat if you want to, or also you can just write down on a piece of paper there at home or think about that one. One of the ones that I thought about is my mother. My mother many times looked at me with that look of delight, which I'm very grateful for.
Have fun and blessing.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're gonna. The whole neighborhood is down in Wrigley. I also, when my youngest daughter was growing up, I read a scripture to her at night. I had a couple that well, this is fun. That's Joe. When you're doing audiovisual, you feel the pressure of failures of equipment and stuff.
Okay, guys. Oh, all right.
The power must have came back on.
We're not going to make any assumptions that this is going to last. Perhaps. I was about to say, you already knew we were family style today, right? Somebody made a great suggestion about opening that door. Anybody who wants to, you just go ahead and, you know, fix things that you feel like could be fixed. I love it. All right. So hopefully you had a little conversation about that. God delights
in us, like a parent looking at the photo of their child and just going, oh, you're mine and you're amazing. The next part of this passage that just grabs me every time I speak it out loud is telling my kids, he who began a good work in you. And it ties in, right, to that you're amazing. Because I'm looking and saying, like, I see in you how you, in all of your quirkiness, and you all think you're quirky. It's kind of amazing, right? Like, I think I sometimes look at people and I'm just like, I'm the quirky one and they're normal. Well, I talk with all of you at different points and we all think we're quirky. Even those of you who I look at, I think you're quirky. Right? That's what I see when I look at you. But then I talk to you and you tell me your stuff and I go, oh, I feel how you think you're quirky and you're different. And there are pieces of yourself that you're not sure anybody is going to get. You're not sure it's acceptable. You're not sure it's okay to feel the way you're feeling and to have the experiences that you have had. But this prayer of love, I'm going to say it's a parent for their child because that was the writer's heart, even in this scripture. It's a prayer that says, a good work has been began in, was begun in you, right? Like you're amazing. You reflect the Imago Dei in a way that nobody else can. Your quirks are beautiful. The other thing that I hear as I pray this verse over my kids is that they are not alone. Because too often in my life, I have assumed that I'm the one who has to do all the work, right? That it's this white knuckle effort to grow and to change, to get better, to become more whole. It's like that fad that went around the internet for a while. What was it? 75 hard, right? And it was this list of like really hard things you had to do every day. And if you missed even a day, you had to go back to the very beginning because you had to read a chapter of a book and you had to do an hour long workout every day. And you had to all of these different things. And then some other people came back and said, what if we did 75 soft instead? What if we believed that there was goodness and there was gentleness, there was help, there was grace, there was compassion? He who began a good work in you will continue that work. And we actually rest in that. We walk along with it. 75 soft. One of the things we've talked about with our therapist is that it's a process, right? It's not clean and easy. We don't just, you know, wow, I'm just going to commit to this and now everything's better. We notice something. We notice our grief. We notice our anger. We start to get curious about it. We start to talk with other people about it. We start to talk with God about it. And over time, things start to shift free and break in different ways. Jesus has already been at work in your life and he's not done yet. And that's a good thing. So here's your next prompt, either to write for just a minute or to pair and share with someone for a minute. What is a place that you can celebrate where you've experienced some growth and healing over the last year or two? And who are you grateful for supporting you on that journey? Somebody who has been part of you going a little softer instead of a little harder. It's a little weird. I'm listening to myself. Apologies.
You can shut off.
Yeah. So go ahead. We're going to take that little bit of time for reflection.
I am the understand when my
All right, let's talk about one of the words that I mostly skipped in my paraphrase for my kids. There's only one. It says, he began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion. And one of my kids did ask me about that word, like, are you saying when I die? I'm like, okay, I can understand how it might seem like that. I thought all of the more formal language about the day of Jesus Christ might be even harder to explain to an 8-year-old. But it really isn't so much about death as it is about believing that God has a great big story that he's telling in each of us and telling in the world, and that we're all moving towards this sense of a fulfillment, healing, redemption. What we say in our church vision statement, it's the renewal of all things, right? That's the kind of completion that we're looking for, where we've all been made whole again, not only personally, individually, but as a culture, right? As a whole world, that all of those, the stories that we see on the news and in our feeds that just crush us, that just make us feel so, where are you, God? That these are the things that will be healed. That's hard to explain to an 8-year-old. You have to say, God's at work. God's at work, and the broken places are going to be restored. And that's the completion that we're longing for, that I long for in my child, that I long for in the world that they live in and that they're inheriting. And as we think about that story, I think it ties in with that ending, because how is that going to happen?
How are we praying that God will do that? Well, this is my prayer, that your love will grow ever more wise and full and deep. That's what we need. We need to learn more and more how to love wisely and well. And that's what we've been hearing about from our therapist in so many ways, to say that as we heal, we know we're loved and we start to love better. And as we love better, the world changes. Richard Rohr, a spiritual writer some of you may read, he puts it this way: the single and true purpose of mature religion is to allow you to experience your true self, your beloved self, who you are in God and who God is in you, and to live a generous and just life from that infinite source. We know who we are, we know who God is, and it overflows out of us, love and justice and generosity. So in our last time of reflection, I'd like you to take a few moments to think about renewal. What are a couple of places where you would like to see healing or renewal? It could be in your own heart, in your circle of friends and family, or in the larger worlds. How is what God's doing in you going to be part of that story of healing? Where are you hoping and praying for healing? All right, pencil and paper, or talk with someone next to you, or chat in the Zoom. We'll come back together in a couple minutes.
My first time was having a bad time, I realized
Our friend and leader Ming is going to read some words of God's love for you, over you. Here, actually, Ming, would you come where you can see you?
This is God Calls Us Beloved by Henry Nouwen in Life of the Beloved. I have called you by name from the very beginning. You are mine and I am yours. You are my beloved. On you, my favor rests. I have molded you in the depths of the earth and knitted you together in your mother's womb. I have carved you in the palms of my hands and hidden you in the shadow of my embrace. I look at you with tenderness and care for you, with a care more intimate than that of a mother for her child. I have counted every hair on your head and guided you at every step. Wherever you go, I am with you, and wherever you rest, I keep watch. I will give you food that will satisfy all your hunger and drink that will quench all your thirst. I will not hide my face from you. You know me as your own, as I know you as my own. You belong to me. I am your parent, your sibling, your lover, and your spouse. Yes, even your child. Wherever you are, I will be. Nothing will ever separate us. We are